Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. In this episode, I talk about goal setting and how for many of us, goals can be a good thing, but in this particular realm of sex and sexuality, goal setting can really get in the way. It kind of makes it so we can't see the forest through the trees, and how those folks that are really focused on one singular outcome may have more difficulty. It may actually exacerbate the problem. So I also go into a case study with John and Angela and kind of talk through their challenges around ED. So tune in and would love to hear your feedback. Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jed Kennedy. And today's topic is goal setting. So it is the first of the year. So depending on when you're listening to this, that may apply to you or not. But goal setting is something that I think we do throughout the year. And I am very much a fan of goal setting in general. I like lists. I like structure. I like thinking ahead, planning 3 months and 6 months and 3 years and 5 years and all of the down the road. If I'm stressing you out, take a breath. Goal setting, I think, helps people achieve. And also, sometimes it gets in the way. I have found that many times couples come in and they are very goal-oriented, and that has to do with their sex life. They feel like they should be having sex X amount of times. There's not really like goal setting so much around the how, it's the what, right? So it's just this idea that they should be hitting a certain mark. And that probably comes in as a factor of what they consider normal. I'm going to challenge that because the whole premise is based on something that isn't true, right? Couples have all different types of sex lives, frequency, the how, the when, the what, the what even counts as sex, definitely is up for debate. So goal setting is a tricky one in this setting. Now, I'm not saying that you just sort of throw it all to the wind and let it land where it will. I think intentionality is really important. But I guess I would encourage listeners to think about sort of stepping back from the goal rather than the goal being actual sex, which usually translates into penetrative sex. Rather, can the goal be intimacy? Can the goal be connection? Can the goal be pleasure? Because those terms look different in the interpersonal realm, right? Instead of it having to, you know, mark on the calendar how many times we've had sex this month and does that, what does that say about us? Rather, it can be more of a how connected do we feel? You know, how understood do I or known do I feel by you? That type of thing. And I think it goes a lot farther because it's more of a quality than a quantity type conversation. So, like, for example, I wanted to give you, you know, I see this happen all the time in my office. And so I thought I would run through a case with you. So this couple, we'll call John and Angela. So they're heterosexual. They've been married 11 years. They have no children. John is 56. He's a CEO. He's got a pretty steady diet of stress going on. Angela is 42. She works as a freelance writer. She does Pilates and, you know, some regular like self-care in that department. The couple tends to both kind of work hard and then play hard. So they're focused on work and achievement, and then they switch gears and they go on lots of vacations. John has increasingly faced erectile dysfunction when they show up in my office. That's happened for him over the past year. They have had decreased sexual contact to avoid the awkwardness and the frustration that results, although it's really more, I would say, for him than her. She doesn't feel so awkward, but she isn't quite sure what to do with it. So they've got tension when they show up for me. They don't really want to talk about the problem. They sort of talk around it before we actually talk about it precisely, because as we start to unpack it, like I'm curious to know when does this happen? When doesn't it happen? What contributes to it? What makes it better or worse, if they are even aware of that? What is their understanding of the problem? So in discussing their cycle, they acknowledge that when John's work stress spikes, because that does with predictable regularity, or if they're having interpersonal conflict. So, and that it can even be low level, right? If they're just kind of having general tension, then his erectile dysfunction worsens. So they definitely see that there's a correlative there. And when he cannot achieve erection, then they tend to go longer periods of time without even trying to have engagement. And in part, that's because he fails to initiate. He gets less and less inclined to do so because he's afraid. It's like an expectancy of the outcome being negative. Now, she also retreats. So we're trying to, as they come in and we get going in our work together, suggest on how they can break this pattern. Right? They have to reframe their expectations and even their definition of sex, because if it only equals this, then they're kind of pushing themselves into a corner sometimes. And so, you know, in our discussion of their goals, we established that they want pleasure. They also want connection. They want fun. Sometimes sex is also for, you know, release. And I wager that these goals can be met without penetration. Now, I'm not saying that penetration's off the table altogether, but when we start looking at all the other options of sensual touch, etc., like, it really does open it up from there, and it gives couples so much more permission to get what they want, because they might say they really want sex. Men in particular will say they really want sex, penetrative sex even, but what I find over and over again is what they're hungering for is actually connection. They want to feel important. They want to feel desired. And desired doesn't necessarily have to mean sex. Desired means pay attention to me. It means touch me in a way, or look at me in a way, or speak to me in a way that shows me you care. And that counts for a lot of what this need is actually about. So as far as pleasure, physical pleasure has a wide range. Like, you can absolutely feel incredibly good without sex, right? There's lots of interactive elements in this. I love sensate focus. I often give it to couples when they're in this predicament. But the idea that, you know, pleasure happens certainly through touch, but there's erogenous zones all over the body. There's lots of playfulness that can happen in this exchange if both parties are on board. So that might look like, you know, some humor introduced. That might look like reading something together. That might look like a massage or something like that, right? There's pleasure in this. That might also look like teasing and building up tension, getting closer to, arousal expansion, sort of. It doesn't have to be just this. So the other piece that they had mentioned was connection. Connection happens in the day-to-day, certainly. But also, especially for a couple like this that have a lot going on and that have, they're kind of in their silos because they're busy, but then they're together. And so they tend to have the most sex when they're on vacation. And that's because they're tucked away. They've got so many of the stressors are kind of away from them. They don't have immediate deadlines. They don't have a messy house. They don't have, sort of the regimented schedule. So they get to just sort of be together, and they are typically exploring new places, or they're having great, you know, meals and that type of thing. So the connection is easier and accessible, but in the day to day, we have to work for that differently. I find that connection is intentional. Like, you have to be intentional about it. I mean, I think as we get better at it, it becomes more natural, but it's the turning toward, the Gottmans call it, you know, kind of the leaning in to bids as each of the partnership are saying, hey, like, you're my person in various ways. And that's through eye contact, lots of nonverbal stuff. It's just sort of that, like, when I try to connect with you through talking or through initiating an idea or a activity or a touch, that you sort of acknowledge it back, like you receive it, even if you don't. And I'm not talking about sex here. I'm talking about all the day-to-day interchanges that happen between couples. And when that connection is happening and there's enough cooperation between the couple, then I find that all of the temperature about this goes down. And certainly John's ED is much, much better. Because there isn't that pressure building, and there isn't that, like, I don't know, feeling of, like, when you're disconnected, there's a feeling that that person is separate and that person is unknown. And so it raises the temperature of any sort of efforts at initiation. Whereas if things are flowing and there's some sort of consistency in terms of interaction, it becomes much easier. So the connection part is really important. And I feel like it happens so subtly and so consistently, like on the day to day, that at any point, you know, that can be remedied, that can be improved with intention. If you decide that this thing matters, then improve your day-to-day connection. And that's like little things. Even if you think about your love languages with one another, like, are you loving your partner the way that you know they like to be loved, shown love? And that might be acts of service or gifts or words of appreciation, you know, but really tuning into that and operationalizing it through action, so that they feel like, oh, this person knows me, this person loves me, this person is doing the things or showing me things in their action and behavior that make me feel connected to them. Because when you are more connected, then that moving into that erotic space is so much easier. It just is. And the other piece I would wager is that when erectile dysfunction is happening, or it can also be happening from the female side of things, if, you know, if there's low desire, or if there's sometimes pain, if it's more psychologically rooted, then when connection is happening, it really, really helps with it. It helps reduce the impact of it. So again, I'm going to say, like, I'm a couples therapist, right? So connection is front and center. Sex is just one of the indicia of, like, how is the couple doing? But connection is critical on so many fronts. So look at how you're loving the other person. And maybe they need some, like, sweet reminders of what it is that they need from you. Because I don't think it's always completely understood or known. I think we fall into habits, and oftentimes we do for others what we like done for us. But it falls a little flat because the other person doesn't value that the same. So building the connection is going to require you to, first of all, know, and then second of all, employ the efforts that are going to help them feel important, connected, and then desired. And desire can be sexual or non-sexual, but, like, desire is, you're my person, I appreciate you, I'm attracted to you as a whole person, that type of thing. Because when that's happening, and when you're signaling that through lots of the day-to-day stuff, the connection is going to be better. The next piece that I had mentioned that I'm working on with John and Angela is fun, right? It's like, are you having any fun? And fun looks different for different couples. Like, some people have highbrow fun and some people just kind of like have rock and roll fun. I don't care what kind of fun it is, but it needs to be fun that's legitimate for you. So that looks like setting aside time to do enjoyable things that are not particularly productive for the two of you. And for some, that's travel. For some, that's date night. For some, that's, you know, listening to a lecture. Like, it could be anything, but it's fun. And ideally, you're having fun in your individual lives, but you're also having fun in your collective life, like in your joint life. So you're trying to find things where the two of you can really drop into that fun place together, Because again, if you've had these shared experiences, that feeling is more accessible in the sensual space. Because also when, for example, erectile dysfunction happens, there's this like, oh no, like I'm letting her down or him down. And it's like the fun part, if the fun is happening in the everyday, like in the daily kind of more experience, then it can be translated into this moment of like, it's okay. It's okay that it's happening, because oftentimes it's happening as a result of the stress that's happening between you, and stress being just expectancy and that type of thing. So if there's a fun dynamic, if there's already a foundation of trust and of shared joyous experience, that can generalize to the erotic realm, right? There's this space where you go, hey, it's okay. Like, let's do something different. Let's pivot and try something else, right? Touch me here instead. Or, you know, let's introduce a toy, or let's introduce, you know, whatever, try something else. And there's that flexibility that happens between the couple that calms the mind down, and the mind is oftentimes kind of controlling the ED. So the fun piece, and also it doesn't have to fall flat, because it doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. Rather, it's like, okay, well, let's try this other thing, and that can be really enjoyable too. Now, what I will say is be careful, because sometimes what happens with couples like John and Angela is that then all the focus turns towards the woman, if this is a straight couple, and then the woman feels incredible pressure to receive and to perform sort of in a way, because the ED is happening. And so then it all kind of shifts towards her. That isn't always successful as a long-term strategy, because she feels some pressure, the same kind of pressure he does actually initially, is like she feels pressure to get off and to, you know, kind of absorb all the energy. And maybe that's not what she wants, you know, and maybe she was hoping for it to be more balanced. So ideally, both parties are still engaging, and it just looks different. And so I think it's really helpful for couples to have a conversation of what else they like and what else would be pleasurable, preferable, you know, delightful in that space if the ED happens. So it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, we're standing here and nothing's happening and we're never gonna, you know, recover from this. Rather, it's like, okay, we've already got plan B and C lined up, so we're good. So then you've got some of that already in motion, and it feels like it's like pretty accessible. The other piece of this is that sometimes, like when I asked John and Angela kind of what is sex about for them, and they also said release. Yes, sure. Of course it's for release. Especially when he's stressed out. Sometimes men often actually more likely are going to have a desire for sex when they're stressed out. Women usually are kind of like more on the other side of things, saying no thanks. But sometimes there is a desire just for release. Well, that can happen. I'm just going to say, like, that can happen with solo sex. That can happen with parallel side-by-side solo sex, right? Oftentimes we know our own bodies really well, and self-pleasure is accessible. And if ED is happening, then maybe if you're going through a period of time and you know that that's happening consistently, then sometimes maybe masturbation might be a better avenue for you. And maybe she can participate in that, and or meaning like kissing or touching or whatever while he's touching himself. Or maybe you both are just touching only yourself and you're not touching each other. Can that be okay too? Because it does still achieve the goal of connection, of togetherness, of release, hopefully of fun. It might feel kind of nerve-wracking because, you know, you're aware that, you know, this is usually kind of a solitary behavior that you do. And so doing it with a partner present might be a little, you might feel a little shy initially, but that's part of building the trust and the excitement together. And it's another avenue that takes some of the pressure off of things. And how might the two of you, you know, accommodate and also just pivot? Because that's part of being in a long-term relationship. Things aren't always going to work the same. It's not always going to be easy breezy like it was in the beginning. And so having that willingness to sort of think outside the box and do something a little bit different is going to be really, really helpful. So going back to the original topic today, which is goal setting, is thinking, I guess, wider than just a singular goal. Because I'm going to take a guess that all the times I sit with couples, typically their goal is something broader. It is more in the department of connection and desire. Like, what is actually, what is happening psychologically for you when you're engaging in sex? Like, that's probably a good primer question. So that getting that relationally is probably possible, even if you're having erectile dysfunction or if you're feeling low desire. Like, there's other ways to achieve that. So, you know, kind of approaching the whole thing with a different mind frame, I think, is going to be helpful. The other piece is just, you know, when you're really, and again, this is coming from a goal-driven person and very structured person, but I recognize the value of the flexibility and of being kind of more open to spontaneity, which is incredibly like hard for people that are very focused. So notice what your go-to is and notice what your, I guess what you've decided in your mind is the way things should be. And then start to think about maybe what else could be. What else could you allow? How else could you be satisfied? How else can you feel connected to yourself first, but then also to your partner? Because that's probably ultimately the goal that you really are going to find more satisfying to achieve anyway. So I would love to hear more from you. This is a perfect topic for the pleasure circle, which I'm gearing up to do another one in the spring. So if you are interested, either ladies, I'm running one for ladies, and I'm starting to kind of cook up the idea of doing one for couples. So if you are interested as a couple in doing a curriculum, that would be more of an intensive model. I would love to hear from you. And yeah, that the process of it is really unpacking what is your particular profile, what is your particular obstacle or obstacles likely as a couple, like what gets in the way for you psychologically, interpersonally, relationally, that keeps you from having a better sex life. Sometimes it's mechanical, but likely not. Usually it's more relational. And so if we can look at that, unpack it, and really start to give permission to have things be different, I think likely you're going to be a much happier and more satisfied partner. So I look forward to hearing feedback, and I wish you well.